The Public News Service Daily Newscast, November the 30th, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. Small businesses are counting on support from local shoppers this holiday season to stay in business and are following CDC guidelines to keep customers and their staff safe during the pandemic.
Jessica Campos with the Center for Rural Affairs says even if the allure of low prices at corporate chains can be tempting, most Nebraskans realize that small businesses are the backbone for local economies.
As soon as we lose a small business, not only do we lose an employer, we lose a school sponsor, we lose our neighbor, we lose a friend. There's a lot aside from economic damage that happens when we lose a small business.
Small businesses have had to pivot how they do business during the pandemic, including converting social media sites to virtual storefronts, adding curbside pickup options, and contactless delivery. Nearly half of all small businesses in the U.S. surveyed by American Express say they need above average holiday sales to keep their doors open next year. I'm Eric Galatas.
CNN reports that President-elect Joe Biden's victory over President Donald Trump in Wisconsin was reaffirmed Sunday after a recount was completed in one of the state's largest counties. The recount in Dane County, which was requested by Trump, ended up narrowing President-elect Biden's lead by 45 votes. CNN says the completed recount, along with Friday's recount in Milwaukee County, leaves Biden poised to be the certified winner when the Wisconsin Elections Commission certifies the state's election results. That's supposed to happen tomorrow. And 6 months have passed since the police killing of George Floyd, and people calling for social justice hope the movement doesn't fade away. In Minnesota, one organization is working to fund projects to help improve health equity for people of color and also for women.
The American Heart Association is awarding grants to Minnesota women who are social entrepreneurs with a strong interest in closing the gaps in health outcomes. It's also creating a $1 million fund to invest in community-led solutions to health disparities in underserved areas. Latricia Vita with the North Point Health and Wellness Center applauds the efforts.
We're way behind on women's health. We need to do so much more of that, particularly in communities of color. I mean, there's very little to go by for women of color. And the more we get, the more we know how to treat these things and know how to spend the money.
She says women often put family members' health needs ahead of their own and don't have as much access to female physicians. Vita says since George Floyd's death, the focus has been on police accountability, while other social justice issues also need attention. I'm Mike Moen.
This is PMS. A new poll shows low-income Americans overwhelmingly support government programs that could end poverty and hunger.
Pollsters spoke with more than 800 adults earning less than $50,000 a year and found those living near or below the poverty line face multiple barriers to getting ahead, barriers made worse by the economic impact of COVID-19. According to Joel Berg, CEO of Hunger Free America, more than half of the people polled faced three or more such barriers and said they want to see government policies that would make it possible to thrive.
Policies that would guarantee living wage jobs for all adults, make quality housing and health care affordable, and eliminate the benefits cliff that penalizes people when they work extra hours.
He notes the HEROES Act would provide relief, including raising SNAP benefits. It was passed by the House in May, but hasn't yet made it to the Senate floor for consideration. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
Senator Kirsten Gillibrand points out that with so many businesses closed by the coronavirus, thousands more New Yorkers are now lining up at soup kitchens and food pantries to get enough to eat. With the 2020 election behind them, the next political event in Arizona and other battleground states will be the once-in-a-decade redistricting process.
In Arizona, some observers anticipate major changes in boundary lines based on the growing number of Latinos in the state over the past decade. However, Lisa Sanchez, who teaches political science at the University of Arizona, warns that Arizona's much-anticipated blue wave may not have arrived just yet.
The idea that Arizona went blue during this last presidential election, I wouldn't interpret it such that the politics on the ground, in particular the partisan affiliation of individuals in Arizona, have shifted fundamentally.
Sanchez says while Arizonans did elect Democrats in the presidential and Senate races, it was business as usual for Republicans in congressional seats and the state legislature. She says the state's electorate remains almost evenly divided along party lines. Mark Richardson reporting.
Finally, our Mary Sherman tells us more than a dozen groups banding together now to make sure Ohio does right by its kids in the next state budget cycle.
The Ohio Children's Budget Coalition is ramping up efforts to maintain, protect, and strengthen public resources that support children. The Coalition on Homelessness and Housing in Ohio is among the organizations involved, and Advocacy Director Gina Wilt says they'll use their collective voice to outline policy priorities in the coming months.
And sometimes we get into these silos, and we can't afford to be in silos right now. There's a potential $2 billion shortfall. The governor is going to have a lot to look through, and we must be in sync.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, heard on radio stations big and small, and online at publicnewsservice.org.